I'm not real good on thinking of themes. Whoops. Not real good at holding on to microphones. But I thought of a theme today. I thought farther along. It was a song that we used to sing all the time in California. I think we stole it from Kansas. I don't know when it was, but it was many years ago in New Jersey that we had some sort of leaders meeting at the Pittengers. You know, did a big pool thing and ate and stuff. But I remember that I shared at that fellowship that I was going to start to spend the majority of the time, my time, working with young people. I felt it was necessary, and I explained my desire to help assist these young people in their knowledge and application of the Word, the love of God, and the mystery. And I asked for their prayers and their patience with this, that I wasn't going to leave them out, but I needed to spend the majority of my time with young people, and that was where I was headed. And again, I asked for the prayers and the patience of the people that were there at this time. The people present at that fellowship were and are and have been very supportive in their prayers, in their giving, in their lives of service of years and years. Many of you were there, and I really thank you for your prayers and your patience and putting up with some of my stuff. But we did a lot in the last 15 years. You know, in that direction that I said that I wanted to move, knew why I wanted to move there. We've done, I don't know, I got to get this right. We've done about 15 or 16 years of fellow labors. That's a lot. And it's produced great fruit because it has. We've done all kinds of camps for young people every year for a long time, for about 15 years. We've done camps every year for young people. And again, your support and prayers really helped them. We've done singles advances. Some of those were pretty fun. I still don't know what Joyce taught, but someday I'm going to find out from one of them women that were there. It rocked the world, I guess. I don't know. And we've done light bearers every year since, geez. And then I can remember a lot of young people going, I was on the first light bearers in New Jersey. No, you weren't. You don't. No, you weren't, man. Tony and Kimberly and Nick and Maria, people like that were on the first ones in New Jersey, not you young dudes. But, you know, we've done classes, we've done the band, we've done so many things to help young people. And there's a reason. There was a reason for that. Number one, that's what God wanted me to do, and that should be the end of it. But the fruit of it has been fantastic, where this Word of God is living from generation to generation, not just sitting around a kitchen table reading a book, although there's nothing wrong with that. And I thought it would be nice for some of us older believers to get together, kind of kick our shoes off, enjoy one another and God's Word together. I want this time to be a very informal time of people just being together because they want to be together and to enjoy the Word together. Many of you who are here were the young people that I started working with 17 years ago. And you're now over 35 and have kids. And some of you are even married. And I'd like to thank you for your stance on God's Word and for the patience that you've had allowing me to be involved in every aspect of your lives, those of you that are younger than us older. I've got a lot of parents here mad at me at times. It's okay. Ain't going to be the last time. But you've all been so wonderful. So I really decided to do this weekend. And I only expected about 50 people. I thought maybe. And we have about 100. And we've done our best to think through the housing the best that we can for you. I wish we could have gotten everybody a king-size bed and their own personal bathroom. I do. I really do. I do. But we've done our best. And our prayer is for me, is my prayer is for all of us to be blessed by God, His Word, and the beauty of the fellowship that we can have together. God's Word lived is very healing. God's Word lived is very delivering. And because so many of you have been in the Word so long and lived the Word so long, I trust that this will be very inspiring to all of us. I was reading and praying for all of you today, and I noticed that 53 of the 94 of us in here are over 50. It's kind of neat. That's neat. Yeah. And I know Joe gets a kick out of it, and so do I, when I hear some of these young guys that are single and stuff talk about all the pressure they have. Well, you haven't been married, number one. That's friggin' pressure. Number two, you haven't had two kids, three kids, or even one. That's pressure, you know. And because of these people here that are a little older, you have gained the benefits in a great way by their lives and their stands on God's Word. The other day at my house, we had a fellowship to prepare for this. And I asked Albert how long he'd been in the Word. And he said, 21 years. I was, oh my God, 21 years? Are you kidding me? That seems like such a long time. 21. And then yesterday, Dean told me he'd been in the Word for 30 years, since he was 11. And I don't understand all there is to understand about God, that's for sure. And I don't understand all there is to understand about His timing. But God's time is just, when it's God's time, boy, you just flourish in that time. I look at Reverend Howard Duramian Jr. If it wasn't for him, there would have been no believers in California. I went to his fellowship. He ran my class. Then I got George in the Word in Feather River. We're still around. That's over 40 years ago. And the reason is, simply for me, is because every time I've applied God's Word in my life, it's worked. This weekend is not to be designed to be rah-rah, sis-boom-bah, and everybody clap and make everybody do stuff like a rapper. You know. If somebody pulls that on you this weekend, tell them to read it themselves. You paid your $30. I don't want any response. Isn't that right? Right? Leave me alone, damn it. It's been right long before you started screaming at me. There are times when maybe that's necessary, but this weekend, it's just going to be a sweet time. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 26, please. I grew up in the land of fruits and nuts, California. And I grew up at a time which was pretty wild. I was in a quandary. I was an athlete. And all these hippies were around, and black people were beating us up, and it was a crazy, crazy time. And hippies walking around saying love, peace, and tie-dye, and you know what? That's an honorable thing. The hippies had the right idea, they just didn't have any foundation. What's wrong with love and peace? Tie-dye is okay, but love and peace, you know, Those are good things to want to have. The people of my generation and a lot of your generation had had it with the establishment, so much so, as that they were willing to put their ass on the line for what they believed in, even if they got beaten for it, thrown in jail for it. I thought we would see a resurgence of heart and commitment in our country, but it didn't happen when I thought it would happen. I thought it would happen right after 9/11. I really did. I thought, man, that boy, and certainly for a while there it was tender, but and then people have disagreements with the war and sending people in the military and, you know, the economics or whatever it is in this world. But not so much a commitment that it would disturb their way of life. There was a hunger when I grew up for racial equality that many people fought for. There was a hunger for love and peace. But because there's no foundation in any of that stuff, it pretty much crumbled. I watched people who had a tremendous desire to change the world turn into drug addicts. You know, everybody had sex with everybody. It sounds it's great until you end up at the county hall getting your penicillin shot in line with 100,000 other kids. Venereal disease ran rampant. Addiction ran rampant. There was no integrity. Many people have laid their lives down in a quest for peace. Mahatma Gandhi was one of the greats as far as commitment, just tremendous commitment. And there's been many, many other people who would do anything for peace and tranquility. It's an honorable thing. It's been a passion for mankind for many years to have peace. Many of these peace movements opposed wars. Some opposed political oppression. Others opposed racial, what's it called? Equality or whatever, unequality. You know? And those are all, again, honorable things. And every person in this life ought to take a stand for something that they believe in. But because the world has ground mankind down so bad in this day, very few take a stand for anything. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Here it says God promises to keep the peace as we stay our minds on him. If God promises something, he'll do it. He promises here to keep the peace as we stay our minds on him. I'll never forget Raleigh Williams' statement about this. He said, if people controlled their hands like they controlled their minds, they'd slap the shit out of themselves. That's a damn good statement. Good old Alabama boy. And he's right. We live in a world that is very fast. It promotes quickness. From cars to, I was going to say jet skis. What am I talking about? I don't know. You know, computers and tweets and twiddles. You know, different kinds of phones. I was sharing in Jersey City last week, and I've just watched the adversary do a great job at keeping people away from seeing people, let alone talking to them. Talking to them would be extreme today. You text everybody. Well, that's nice. It's quick, very impersonal. Sometimes it's necessary, but I think you could pick up a phone and say, hi, how you doing? Or you might even get to the place where you could look at somebody and say, boy, you're beautiful. It's good to see you in person, where I can touch you, not on a Skype. I mean a Skype. Numbers 23. God promises to keep this peace if we stay our minds on Him. Numbers 23. Verse 19. I don't suppose that this weekend's going to be a revolutionary learning weekend. I think that probably most of the things that'll be shared are things that we've heard at one time or another in one way or another. And that's okay with me. We ought to master what we know before we start learning a bunch of other stuff. And when I say master, I mean get it to the place where it lives in your life, in my life. You know, it's like the guy who's at the plate. He hits a ball off the left field wall, and he runs right past the pitcher and touches second. Well, he's going to get thrown out because he never touched first. God is not a man. Look at this. Thank God that he should lie, verse 19. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God doesn't need to repent. He's perfect. Hath he said, hath God said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Yes. God doesn't lie. He is not capable of a lie. That's so cool. And everything he says, well, I ought to read it. Yeah. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Everything he says he's going to do. Or hath he spoken it, shall he not make it? God isn't a liar. And the things he promises are good. They're good. They're good. When are you going to be good enough to receive the benefits of God? When are you going to be bad enough to, you know, where God won't love you? Say, we spend too much time on that kind of garbage and not enough time on just enjoying God. He loves each and every one of us. This was written by a copped out prophet, Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf, referred to him as crookeder than a dog's hind leg. He was trying to get in with the unbelievers to get money and land and all this kind of stuff. And then a little while after that, he gets this tremendous revelation. So was he good enough or bad enough? Or was he just a believing guy who believed that God had talked to him even if he was monkeying around? Colossians 3. So God's not going to lie. And when he says he'll keep us in perfect peace, his mind is stayed on him, he means it. He didn't lie. He didn't lie. Colossians 3, verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye what?
Thankful.
It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It doesn't say, please. God's not begging us here. You know what he's doing? He's telling us. Oh, we sure don't like to be told what to do. I don't think you do. I don't like to be told what to do too much either. But if God says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, this is God. This isn't like if you're in a good mood on a good day when everything's going right, let it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. It doesn't say, please be thankful. Please be thankful. No. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's what it says. The word rule, and I love this, it means to sit and act as an umpire. And an umpire is the decider. He makes the definitive statement on a ruling in a baseball game, right or wrong, that's the decision. I stick by it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let that be the decider of your heart. Peace. Let that decide. Decide that. Okay. Peace. To the which also you're called in 79 million bodies. No. one body and be ye thankful. God tells us to be thankful. To be thankful requires being thankful to something, for something. You're thankful to Diane Allender because she called you on the telephone and actually talked to you. You haven't heard from a person on the phone in a week. So I'm thankful to her for calling me. We let this peace rule in our hearts. Peace means rest. Rest in contrast to strife. Rest in contrast to strife. The absence and end of all strife. It means undisturbed, untroubled well-being. Undisturbed, untroubled well-being. It means peace being the result of forgiveness enjoyed. Boy, don't you feel good when you know you've been forgiven, when you really know it. I kind of know it. I've been forgiven. And then you're thinking about it for 20 years. That's something I noticed when I was in Jersey City. There's still people really bottled up with condemnation there, boy. Got to stop that stuff. It's not profitable. Here it says, let the peace, look, peace being the result of forgiveness enjoyed. Are we forgiven? Are we?
Yes.
We are. I'm sorry. I said I wouldn't do that. I apologize. Leah makes sure everybody gets $2 back. Every time we do that, we'll give you money back. Oh, Jerry, that was pretty funny. I was going to say, right. Free from all anxiety and care. So we're the ones who have the honor of deciding to let peace be the decider of our hearts. That's it. It's like, I decide that's the way it's going to be. My heart is going to be peaceful. I'm not going to let it bother me tonight. And Jesus Christ, boy, he was the most great example of everything. In John 14. I remember an old pressed down, shaken together, running over song. Come with me, I'll take you to a place where not a negative word is spoken. The love of God is here. What's the other part? Thank you. Thank you for your help. You really aren't going to say anything, huh? So, in verse 27, it says, John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So here, there's two different kinds of peace. One that's of the world, and the other the kind that Jesus Christ gave. And then it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Troubled means to agitate, to cause inward confusion, to take away, and this is a great one, to take away the calmness of our minds. That's what this word trouble means. To make restless. Jesus Christ left a peace not as the world gave. And we aren't to let our hearts be disturbed, agitated. Now, this is stuff we've got. We have peace. We have a peace that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. But too oftentimes we allow the world to take that peace away. It's there. We have it. It's one of the things that have freely been given to us. We didn't pay for that peace. Jesus Christ left the peace. Acts chapter 10. Acts I look around this room and think of, golly, how many incidents could we talk about? You know, jeez. I mean, Ricky coming to my door the first year. God. Ricky Camacho. And who were you with? Cruz?
Willie,
yeah. I don't even know these guys. And they're coming to receive PFL materials at midnight while Joyce is 7.5 months pregnant with Jossie. I wasn't home, was I, Ricky? Was I home? No. And Joyce had a 44 Magnum behind her back. Because she didn't understand these guys. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know. She sees two Spanish people standing at the door at 12:30 at night. And then finally she heard PFL or something. And she was sure happy. But not as happy as they were. Well, that's just one of a million incidents. I sitting with Rube and Connie in my office. You know, sitting with Jason after his mom fell asleep. End up doing your dad's memorial service because the stupid minister didn't show up. I mean, that's just one row. The Hunt's wedding. It was awesome. It's right east where East Brunswick Library is, and there's apartments back there. Well, the library wasn't there yet. We're going to do the wedding on the lawn. It was neat, except it poured down in buckets. I mean, torrential downpour. We ended up slamming everybody in the apartment and doing the wedding, man. That's just the front row. You know, it's a miracle of God that we're here doing Sunday night hookups at the Allenders. Jeez. At their house. I mean, I just get choked up because you guys are just so fantastic. You know, when I think of you, I just don't allow myself to think anything bad. I try not to remember it. It's not hard to do that when you think of the good. Doing light bearers at your house. In your house. Both houses. The Vetter lines, the bonnets, the denim everywhere except my house. There was a reason for that. I don't know how many we had in Chatton's house that one time in West New York. There had to be. 110. Oh, it's unbelievable. You guys do all deserve king-size beds, man. We really, really do. You know, these kids today, they're so spoiled. Of course, we heard that from our parents, too. So, Acts 10's nice. Back to the book. Peter opened his mouth, verse 34, and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ." The word of God that was sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. "That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in what? Yeah, they slew him, hanged him on the tree and all that. But look at the stuff. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power. Power comes with Holy Spirit. We need to see the signs, miracles, and wonders that God has made available. Why not? Why not? We have the same stuff they did in the book of Acts. And he went about doing good. And that's a neat thing. Good is the opposite of bad. He went about doing good things. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's who oppresses people, the devil. Too often times we point our fingers in another direction, that it's their fault or his fault or her fault or someone else's fault. maybe we contributed, but the one who causes oppression is the devil. And he went about doing good. He healed all that were oppressed. He walked with power. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind of believing that you've got power, doing good, healing people who are oppressed of the devil. You know, we have Holy Spirit. We have power. And what did Jesus Christ do with that Holy Spirit and that power? He went about doing good, and he healed people who were oppressed of the devil. The word devil means a slanderer, someone who's a false accuser. That's what the devil is. He's a false accuser. He's a slanderer. He says bad things about you. He says bad things about other people. He just is constantly at it, day and night. Yeah. And it says, Jesus Christ preached peace. What a wonderful thing to have in our hearts to share with others. The world is so unpeaceful. The world is so unsure. The world is so uptight. The world is so pressured. What it does for the world to see someone with joy. Diane and I were talking about this today. It is an adult advance. She's going to Princeton Orthopedics for physical rehabilitation on her torn tendon, and I'm going to Rutgers rehabilitation for a bone spur and my rotator cuff and all this stuff. So she heads south, I head the other way. And usually on the same days. And we have noticed, and of course then, months back when I was doing cardiac rehabilitation as an adult, it was all Jewish guys and girls. And they called me their pet Gentile. It was great. I didn't mind. You know, you're in a room with a bunch of whining Jews. Oh, my heart, huh? I guess I shouldn't have eaten the donuts this morning, you know. And they got a kick out of me because I just share the word with them. I just loved them. And Diane's doing the same thing there, and it makes a real impression. After a week or so, they start changing their negativity. So how is our Gentile today? Fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, how the time flew. It was just fun. I just enjoy this life, you know. But we have peace to offer to people. The world does not have a peace. They have an uptightness that's so prevailing that sometimes it affects us. Sometimes you get uptight. Sometimes you get mad. Sometimes you're angry. Sometimes you just want to beat someone. But we got to calm down and let the peace of God rule in our hearts and think about that. Because that's what we have. And it makes an impression. And it's a big impression. People want that in their lives. They don't want the Word of God shoved up their butt. They want to see it. They want to see someone happy. They want to see someone blessed and peaceful. They've had it up to here with everybody. I can't blame anybody. This world is not our home. Romans 1. You know, remembering the verse in Peter, knowing this verse, that the prophecy of the Scripture came not in old time by the will of men. The holy men of God spake as... You know, God told people what to speak. So every time in the Word of God where it says something, it is God-inspired. Every place, it's God-inspired. God told people what to write. In Romans 1, verse 7, I'm all for an all-out peace movement by being blessed by peace and blessing others with it. You bet. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. That's what Paul thought of them. Beloved of God. That's what God told him to write. Guess who else is beloved of God? You and me. That ought to make us happy. Called to be saints, not the kind you see in the churches. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the originator of this grace and peace was God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Couldn't have happened without Jesus Christ, and it certainly couldn't have happened without God. And it says we're beloved of God, even though we don't live in Rome. We as Christians are beloved of God. And We have grace and peace. Romans 4, chapter 4 of Romans, verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 1. Who was delivered for our offenses, this is Jesus Christ, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not at loggerheads, like Dr. Worrell used to say. We're not at loggerheads with God. We're not fighting with God. We're not, the fight's over. He's God. He's not mad at you. He doesn't look at you and go, oh, you suck. No, that's what we do. He never does that. Therefore, being justified, verse 1, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just great. It's not because of anything we did, and it's not because of anything we didn't do. He has given us this. It is ours to have. Like a gift that you get. You know, you can do whatever you want with it. You can benefit by it, or you could throw it away. Well, we have peace. It's part of the package. And it all started when we confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's when it started. When we got born again of God's Spirit, when we got born from above, peace was included in part of that Holy Spirit package, and it's a peace that'll never fade away. Romans 8. That'd be a good chapter for all of us to master. Romans 8, from the beginning to the end. Verse 6. God presents a choice. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's see. Death, life, and peace. There is no one with a sane mind and who isn't possessed, who wouldn't want life, and that word life is zoe in the Greek, which means life in all of its manifestation, all of its fullness, and peace. For to be carnally minded, which means to walk by our five senses, is death. That's a choice. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is going to cost me a buck. How many would choose death? Yeah, none of us. None of us would choose death. So when we walk in this life, we ought to walk with our shoulders back, knowing we have life and that we have peace. And man, that's a breath of fresh air. That's just such a great realization, just even for our own individual lives, to know that the fight's over, God wins. And if we choose God, we win. Oh. Carnally minded is death, spiritually minded, life and peace. I prefer life and peace. Romans 15. Nobody here chose death. We're up to $3, Leah. Some of them are going to cash in, too. I know it. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Oh, that's verse 33. I'm sorry. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. I think of the movie, The Ten Commandments. I love that movie. I know it's not all perfect. Don't teach me. I know. But I just like when Yul Brynner goes, so let it be written. So let it be done. It's awesome. Yul Brynner, the best. He was the bad dude, right? Or was he Moses? Oh, that was Charlton Heston, of course. Yes. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. And he wants to fill us. And that word fill in verse 13, easy for me to say, is filled to capacity with all joy, as much as there is to give. The last day of the spring advance, I was doing the vacuuming in the meeting room, and I wrote a song. Well, I didn't write it. I was singing it. I just started singing. And it's like, I got all the love I'll ever need. I got all the love I'll ever need. I got all the love that God has ever given. Come on, God's people, walk on. Oh, that's a hit. And peace is in there, too. Yeah, the easy song. And you think about it, and it just puts a smile in your heart. In your heart. It'll show up in your face. It will. We have a God who is a God of peace. He's a peace God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy smokes. There it is again. Grace means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness. And I can't read that other one. Oh, loveliness. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, and loveliness. It's loving kindness and favor. It's great affection. Mercy's withholding the merit of judgment. Grace is what? Does anybody remember the definition Dr. Werwell gave us? Divine favor. Unmerited divine favor. Meaning, you know, we didn't deserve it. He gave it to us. It's a fantastic reality. And that's love. It's affection. It's so he's given us grace. He's given us peace. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2. It pretty much says the same thing here. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this isn't the standard way to open a letter to people. Nowhere else, not in the Old Testament, anywhere, not in the Gospels, anywhere, is grace and peace the opening. God wanted this written. Each time he wanted it written. And the reason he wanted it written, I don't know why, I shouldn't say the reason, but it sure seems to me like maybe we need to hear it. It's like how many times in the utterance manifestations does God say very similar things? Maybe because we need to hear it. I don't think God has a problem with stuttering or saying the same thing over and over again. I think we need to accept what he has to say. Grace and peace. It's a hard thing for people to walk in grace. They're so used to being told what to do, when to do, who to do it with, when to do it. You know, it's just a rough life out there. Galatians chapter 1. But not with God. You think I'm going to become a male model? An adult model. No. Yeah, I already got shot down by Palma in her car. I think I want to do it. I want to have a manly man clothesline. Manly man, but they said that wouldn't work. Guess it wouldn't. They know. So I trashed that idea. I just came up with it today. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Said it again. You know, one of the reasons we have whatever it is we have here in New Jersey is because of the grace and the peace that many of you have walked with through all these years. And there's been plenty of stuff that's come up that's been very, very difficult to deal with in all of our lives. And yet somehow we've gotten through things together Because we're a family. We are a family. And when we realize that spirit is thicker than blood, it's a new day. It's not that blood isn't significant, it's that spirit is a lot longer than 60, 70, 80 years on this life. You realize we're going to be together forever? Whew. Whoa. Those people you can't stand that are believers are going to stand there with you holding your hand. Be smoking cigars with them. I don't know what you're going to do. I just want to work in the gym. That's all. It's another one of my ideas. I'm sure I don't have any idea if that'll ever happen. Wouldn't it be fun to play basketball for like a million years with no aches and pains and be good? You know, it'd be fun. Maybe I could be a model at the gathering. No? Richie, why do you say these things? You did. There was a comment or a moan. It was a moan. One of the reasons we got what we got here is because you guys walk this way. You're so great. And we kind of keep each other in check and balances. You know, you get upset or you get mad, and then you look at a believer who's so happy and you just get happy. Or get mad at them for being so damn happy, which isn't the right thing. It's good to be inspired by the blessings of other people. You know, we don't always have perfect days. So it's nice to be around people who have good days. And when you're not having a good day, spend time with someone who's going to help you. Someone who will build you up and bless you. That even knows you. Galatians 5. Yep. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Fruit is the result of something. And fruit of the Spirit, it's the result of us operating the manifestations and believing who we are in Christ. It's the totality of all of it that produces the fruit of the Spirit, which when people see you, do they see love? Do they see joy? Do people see peace? No. Long-suffering, gentle, do they see gentleness? Do they see goodness? Do they see believing? I want my life to produce something. And I would like it to produce those things because those are godly things. Those are things that are fruit of the Spirit. I don't want people to see me and to think that there's a hard-hearted guy, or there's a guy who demands a lot and does little, or, you know, I don't want people to think I'm mean. I want people to love me. I have the same desires as you do. And that's why God has given us His love. He's given us His peace. He's given us His comfort. He's given us His grace because we need it. This world is hard. It's mean. And if we allow our brains to go a certain way, we become the same way. Whether we say it or not, it'll be manifested somewhere down the line. So it is with love and peace. If that is what we're thinking, then that's what we're going to manifest. If we speak in tongues a lot and we enjoy life as being a son of God, knowing that we're righteous, redeemed, sanctified, complete, justified, all that stuff, we're going to walk that way and we are going to manifest. It's going to glow like a light. We are a light in this world. So that's the fruit of the Spirit, which is just fantastic. Yeah, and part of that fruit of the Spirit is peace, undisturbed believing, absence of strife, forgiveness enjoyed, all of that stuff. Ephesians 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. And in chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 and 17. For He is our peace. Who hath been made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know, between the Jew and the Gentile. He ripped it. He shredded it apart. having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making what? This one body is to produce peace. It should be a peace machine. There was a time when people didn't head for the hills all the time, when things didn't go their way. There was a time like that. They felt accountable. Today it seems as if someone's upset with someone, then that gives that person a license to break off and go do their own thing. With no accountability to God or no loyalty toward one another, no nothing. But because you get shook up, you run. That's a bunch of baloney. I'm so sick and tired of that. Probably the thing that consumes is the wrong word, that takes up a large majority of my time is fighting for the peace by just trying to smash stuff that's outside influences from getting in. And that takes a lot of prayer. But it also takes standing up for your brothers and sisters. It takes balls. This family is a family worth fighting for. We can fight, and we have on numerous occasions. But boy, you just don't let anybody take a crack at anybody in your fellowship. You don't let anybody get, and you don't. And that's one of the reasons why we got here. Why I love this place. I never in a million years would have ever thought I'd live in New Jersey. Because I can't stand anything about it. Except you. And I actually like the people here. Because I can remember this believer moving here. And it was that New Jersey clap, you know. And it was like, welcome to New Jersey. And this guy, you know, I introduced him. I gave him a big build up. You were there, Jimmy. And then one person in the back went, because you got to earn it. You don't have to earn righteousness or anything, but respect takes a while, and that's okay. Wouldn't you rather see a sermon than hear one? I would. And there's a lot of living sermons right here that people have gotten to see, and that's one of the reasons that we have something wonderful. It's so enjoyable to be with you. It's just... Maybe I called this fellowship for selfish reasons, just to be with you. That's okay. Verse 17, did I read it?
Nope.
He came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Well, all of us, before we were born again, were without God and without hope in this world. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we were a long way from being a complete person. We have body and soul. Body, soul. That's it. This stupid bag of bones. And a soul life, which makes Matt, me, and you. That's what we got. That's not a complete person. Dogs have that. Spirit. This body and soul, I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't have any idea. 70, 80, 90 years. Then it's dust. This spirit is forever. That's what makes us a complete person. That spiritual side. And here, he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Boy, we got peace. Don't have to be nervous all the time. And Philippians 1. You know, motive is a tremendous thing to pay attention to. Why do we do what we do? You know, it's good to think about, not sit there and condemn yourself, but it's good to think about why you do what you do. Is it because you want to, or you really desire to, or is it because you feel like you have to, or you're supposed to? Or if you don't, you're going to crack up the head. See? Motive. I I love this family I'm in. You're my family. And like a family, we fight, but we stand together, boy. One, two. Buckle my shoe. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, said it again, didn't he? Why? He keeps saying that. Oh, you're driving me crazy. That's a good thing to hear over and over again. Grace and peace to you. How could you not like that? I don't know. Chapter 4. Only a person would be walking by the devil wouldn't want that. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Don't be overly concerned for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, the word keep means to guard with the military guard, to guard with great power rather than the senses. And it keeps all outside influences from coming in. Don't be anxious. And here's what we do instead of that. We pray. We give specific requests. We're thankful. We tell God, and the peace of the fruit of that, being thankful, thankful and peace go together all through the Word. The fruit of this thankfulness, the fruit of going to God, the fruit of praying and supplicating is peace. It's what the Word says. And this peace is going to keep, it's going to keep all outside influences from coming in. What a tremendous thing to guard our hearts and minds with. Peace. Not nervousness. Not anxious frustration. Not being overly burdened down. This peace shall guard our hearts. There's no exceptions. God, I've heard it from all of you and everybody else in the world. No. It's like, you don't understand my problem. Well, maybe not. Guess who might? Are you so exceptional that God can't help you? Am I so exceptional? Is my problem so unique that God isn't going to help me? One of the... Yeah. Well, this peace guards our minds and hearts. There's a peace in our hearts that the world never gave, and a peace it cannot take away. Don't let it. I know that's not a verse. I know it's a song. But it goes right along with the Word. Colossians 1:2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's a good one. Chapter 3 we read already. And let the peace of God, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 1. We're getting towards the end of the New Testament. Or the church epistles, the seven church epistles. Says in verse something, 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 9, I don't know. you guys in here, is this a figure of speech? I mean, I know it's true, and I know that each time God meant business, but it seems to me like he opens every church epistle, and that drives some emphasis to it. Do you know? You guys taught it, figures of speech. It seems like a repetition, but I don't know. What? Not from you, because you ain't answering. Is it? Do you know? No? Okay. Well, let's put it this way. It comes up a lot at the beginning of every church epistle. That's safe. That's safe. Yeah. I know the synonym, is it what? One? Oh, one and. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm lost. That's Joe. I'll understand what he meant 4 days from now and crack up. When Joe first moved here, man, I'd go, what? And then I'd go home and go, oh, yeah, that's funny. Man, you gotta be sharp. Anyway, I conclude that it comes up a lot in every church epistle right at the beginning. That's my conclusion from diligent research. Chapter 1, verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father, Joe. I think I just got it. Grace unto you and whose cell phone is that? Is that a cell phone? Or am I going on bots? That's going to cost you money. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it says grace and peace. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. And here's the words you'll love to hear. This is the last verse. You ever hear like a 9-hour teaching and they say this is the last verse? And you go, thank God. Love the teaching, but. Verse 16. Now, the Lord of peace. Oh, I love this. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. Now, that got to be some kind of figure of speech in there. The Lord be with you all. Wow, what a verse. The Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Wow, what a wonderful salutation. All we have to do is accept what God has so graciously, lovingly, and mercifully given us freely. We got peace. Let's claim it. Let's claim it and proclaim it. Some people work a lifetime to make peace available. And I really respect those people because I know how difficult it is. I can't imagine how difficult it would be without God's word being the center and the standard. People in the world deserve what we have, peace. And they deserve to see it. And they deserve to, I don't know if deserve is the right word, but everybody needs a shot at seeing peace. So let's again claim it and share it with others. And we will be blessed and so will the people that we're around. We make an impact on people everywhere we go, whether it's the grocery store or the, you know, the gas station. Wherever we go, gosh, and you know, it's good for people to know you and love you. You know, I know through the years, it's been amazing. Living in Milltown, first of all, is amazing. I mean, and through the years, we've gotten close. The mayor loves me, or not, I don't got to get to know the new one. I don't know the new one. But that lady, oh, Gloria, she loved me. She made me part of the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee, which at that time I thought was a stretch, but, you know. and coached baseball teams and worked with kids, and you guys have all done stuff too. It's so neat to just be part of life with the Word being the center of our lives and seeing the impact that it has on people that we surround ourselves by. And so tonight I just wanted to open with peace, because I know it's something that the world frequently tries to steal. But the world will never successfully be able to steal the peace, because it's there. We just need to let it manifest by believing what God's Word says about us, and by claiming that what we have is a Son of God. We have the right to peace because He's made us able. We have the right to rest in contrast of strife. We have the right to be undisturbed in an untroubled well-being. We have the right to enjoy our forgiveness. And we have the right to not have any anxiety or care. We have that right. So, Father, thank You for Your love, Your goodness, and Your grace. Thank You, Father, for Your peace that passeth understanding, but we're so grateful we have it, that it can keep and guard our hearts and minds through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and for a wonderful night ahead if Your Son doesn't want to come, if we don't, I know He wants to come back, but whenever, if He doesn't come back, that we could have a great sleep. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I don't know what I was praying about.